Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Mike on the text line says, good rant, Joe. As for the Titans, is there any way they will get new uniforms when the new stadium opens? Am I the only one who's never liked their uniforms? This is from Mike on the text line. You want a hot take? I think the current version of the Titans uniforms are the worst uniforms in the NFL. I think they're all.
Whoa! So like when they did that unveil on Broadway, when like Vrabel and J-Rob did
Florida Georgia Line,
Florida Georgia, you were like, oh my God, these are the worst?
Yeah, they're terrible. I hate the font. I don't like the gray on there. I just think they're awful.
I
don't love the blue helmet. I think it's all bad.
I like the navy jersey, light blue pants. I think that's a great combo. Now, I guess the old iteration of the same thing might have been a little better.
I would agree.
But I like that. And I like the Stormtrooper road whites. Yeah. But other than that, I don't really like. Yeah. Okay. The worst in the league.
I think they're awful. Now,
Jaguars are so bad, though.
The Jaguars are bad. I've always thought they were awful. I think it's now been highlighted to me, and it makes it worse when they wear the Oilers throwbacks. Yeah. I'm like, this is what it could be,
yeah,
and this is what you have, and that's why I think it's made it worse to me.
I would. There's a rule in the NFL on how often you can change, like do the full thing, like they just did.
Yep.
You know, in I guess it would have been 2018, right? 2018 or 2019? 2018, but. I think that leaning in on you're not gonna do the Oilers uniform, right? But like more like that and do that blue as your primary thing.
Color. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and you can have your logo, but do that blue. I'm with you.
I think Seattle stinks.
Do you?
More so than the Titans.
I like the
throwback is a lot better.
I like their throwback. I like their old uniforms. I mean, the worst uniform in the league to me is the Denver Broncos, and they used to have some of the best.
Well, their throwbacks are
the throwback,
among the probably top three best.
Yeah, and also a team that got markedly worse for some stupid reason is the Eagles. The old Kelly Green Eagles uniforms are amazing, and the new one's like, whatever. So it's an interesting conversation. Also in the text line, I want to get real quick to Mike from PA on the Big Ten SEC says, you know, just the Big Ten and SEC should leave and do their own thing. I mean, we're kind of getting to that, but just imagine how ridiculous that would be.
Well, I said this in the break. Like, I would love for when my team wins a national championship, it to be an actual national championship and not just a, hey, congratulations, you won the Big Ten SEC showdown there.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Exactly. It's possible for a team in the Big 12 to have a great football team that could win it all. The ACC, to win it all. There are other parts of the country and other programs that invest a lot in football and could win a national championship. But no, I mean, like I said, the AFC has better quarterbacks. Just leave the NFC. Just have an AFC championship because you're the better conference. How about the West in the NBA? What? Screw the East. Just have a West NBA championship.
It's not the first time I've heard that. Like, that's been thrown out there that they should do that and they should just make their own thing, the Big Ten and the SEC. I would hate it. Like I just
it's horrible.
First off, I hate a lot of things about what's going on in college football right now. We've talked about that. Like, to me, it's gotten so far away from what it used to be that it's sometimes hard to think about where it used to be and where it is now. Some of it's good. Like, I like the fact the players are getting paid. They probably should have been paid a long time ago. Don't love the playoffs. Talked about that. But like, at some point, you got to draw a line in the sand, right? Like, you can't just continue to rip apart the fabric of the seams of the sport and not expect at some point for that to have a negative effect on your fan base and the repercussions that go with that.
At some point, a small group of suits getting as rich as they can while they can off it, everybody else be damned, should be stopped.
I would agree.
Because that's what's happening.
I would agree. So I don't think this is going to be the last time you ran about that. Like it's, we could have more.
We could
more
make
news
this
on
the,
that.
The perma rant if you want. Just you know, daily. You know, rip on the Big Ten and SEC. Well, it's nice to have them together and hate them both. A lot of times people get all, you know, they get territorial with that. It's like, no, both of you together. You suck.
Wait until this playoff expands to 16 and I flip this table that's screwed into the ground here. It's going to be awesome. Really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
On the free agent front, we've gone through some options with the Titans and what could be out there in the NFL this offseason. Now, the wide receiver market is going to be interesting. We talked about some trade candidates that Bill Barnwell from ESPN threw out there earlier, be that a Tyreek Hill in Miami or a Deebo Samuel who has requested a trade in San Francisco. I'm going to be interested to see what happens with those two guys. Deebo, to me, it's been interesting. Like, he's fallen off a cliff in terms of his production. And, you know, the way they used him a few years ago was, you know, he's basically, I mean, he's wide receiver, but he ran the ball, they jet sweeps all the time to him. Like he was an offensive weapon. PM, as TD calls Travis Hunter. He was a playmaker. That's what he was. And it feels like that's kind of gone by the wayside with him over the last couple of years here. I'm interested to see what the availability looks like for him, if San Francisco actually trades him, and what the interest level looks like. You know, cut candidates, Davante Adams. I don't think this is really the offseason for the Titans to look at wide receiver and say we're going to spend a ton of money. But like we've talked about having to fix your receiving core one way or the other. If you get to the draft or you're looking ahead at your draft plans, if you're the Titans and you say, you know what, we're sticking and picking at number one. Maybe they're like Gentry and they love Cam Ward. It's like, we love Cam Ward, but we're picking at number one. We got a second-round pick that we probably, in a perfect world, really need to spend on a right tackle or an edge rusher. So where do we find receiver help? Well, we got to go pay somebody. So in that scenario, I guess I'm okay with it. The question is, who would that be? Like, who are you throwing money at this offseason? A lot of people are going to say T. Higgins. It looks like he's going to be tagged by Cincinnati. Some of the other free agent options, be that a Brandon Cooks or a Keenan Allen. Like, a lot of these guys are old on the other side of things. You know, Stephon Diggs is coming off the ACL. What's that? Is he going to end up back in Houston? Does he get released and become a free agent that way? If so, what does he have left? You know, Buffalo got rid of Stephon Diggs, and they seem to be better for it. So I don't know. Like, there's not a ton of great options out there in terms of age and fit in free agency as it relates to money to throw at a wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, I'm of the mind. I've been of the mind, and we've talked about it. Get that young receiver. Get that young this, get that young that. Build your roster through the draft and develop, et cetera, et cetera. But this year, you're not going to be able to get all of that. You have no choice but to try to be competitive next year. You have no choice. I mean, Brian Callahan has no choice but to try to win next year and keep his job.
That's it. If he wants to have his job, yep.
So I'm not opposed to – I mean, you have to spend in free agency. Another thing we've talked about, like, you have to. You have to get difference makers, playmakers, free agency, spend money. You don't have to be in a contention window to go improve your team in free agency. Otherwise, you're just going to continue to stink. So, look, if you can address that position and then, you know, knock it down the list a little bit, although I still would draft a good receiver if I had a chance, if your big board comes up receiver in the, you know, whatever, in the second round, okay. Even if you sign someone, I mean, like you have to go with the big board, go with the best player. But if it's close, then you could, okay, now you can go get the tackle and say you can get the, you know, whatever. You got to get a safety. We never talk about safety, but man, like, they seriously have to start addressing that position. It's not just a nothing position. Offensive guard is in a nothing position. Just because you're not a premium position doesn't mean you're not an important position. Oh, it's to say, though, look, if some of this were to work out. I mean, Cooper Kupp is interesting. But to me, it's like Deebo and Cooper Kupp are in the same sort of category, whereas we've seen their best day. Their best was really good. Their best was high level.
Yep.
But I don't think we're going to see anything close to that moving forward. So who out there can you get who actually still has a lot left to give?
Yeah, that's the question. And I mean, the thing with Deebo is he's 29. So he's not that old.
He's not ancient.
But the production has fallen off with him. So
the injuries have increased.
Well, and again, like, are you trading for Deebo? Like, I don't think the Titans right now are in a position where they need to really trade for anybody. unless you're solving quarterback. That's probably the one caveat I would give there is if you're giving up assets that you feel like can solve quarterback, that's fine. Other than that, like you have so many holes on your roster, you need to be recouping assets. You need to be getting those back, not trading those away. So, like, I don't really love the idea of trading for one of these guys at wide receiver. Now, and then the question becomes, let's say some of these guys break free, whether that's an Adams, you know, Barnwell put Christian Kirk as a cut candidate from Jacksonville. Let's say one of those guys breaks free. Okay, how much are you willing to pay them for them to consider what I like to call the Titans tax of, well, those guys aren't very good, and I'm going to go there and play football? Like, I'm sure Davante Adams wants a chance to win. I don't know the Tennessee Titans are going to be high on his list, right? So, like, how much are you willing to pay one of these guys for them to consider coming to play for your football team, given the state it's in right now?
Yeah, you have to pay more. You will have to absolutely pay more. And yeah, with someone like that, to me, it would have to be like, oh, God, I can't ignore this more.
I don't even think he's realistic unless, like, Rodgers was your quarterback. And even then, I think it would be a long shot.
I'm just big on, like you said, spend money for sure and understand you're going to have to spend more. Well, if you're not – I mean, this is a big offseason to me for not just, like, the new front office or whatever, the refigured front office.
Berserker.
But also – just the, like, is Amy, I don't know, are they spending on a good football team? They better, you know? I'm sorry that, like, you're paying more people to not work for you, but, yeah, you just got Vrabel off the books. So spend money, but don't spend draft capital. It's because your long-term future, to be able to have a great team in 2027, for example, when your new stadium opens, it's only going to be, I mean, it's largely going to be built on drafting well and resuming drafting well. You can't trade away draft capital.
Well, and speaking of spending money, the offensive line, an area where that could be an option for the Titans this offseason. How aggressive should they be, and who are some options that could come in and play on the offensive line should the Titans pursue them this offseason? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Nashville's best deal this week from Bavarian Beer House, located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals. Get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on free agency and the Titans. We went through the Ronnie Stanley situation earlier, not to be confused with myself, the left tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. So Stanley is 31. He'll be 31 next month. And he just played in every game for Baltimore this year, which is the first time in his career that he's appeared in every game. Now, he played in 15 out of 16 for a couple years in 17 and 18, but suffered a bad ankle injury in 2020. He's missed 36 games over the past 5 years, but he was 12th in pass block win rate among tackles this year. He played every game for the first time. And the thought is, if he makes it to free agency, he's going to be the top tackle available on the market. So we've thrown it out there. Like, should a Ronnie Stanley become available in free agency? A lot of people expect Trey Smith to be available from Kansas City in free agency at the guard position. How aggressive should the Titans be at spending money on the offensive line and trying to address their offensive line this way? Now, Joe, we know they've spent a lot of draft capital on the offensive line, whether it's Latham or Skoronski or Nicholas Petit-Frere, or obviously players that have not worked out in Isaiah Wilson, Dylan Radins, who, by the way, is scheduled to become a free agent as well. We'll see what the Titans' decision looks like on him. There have been a lot of draft capital spent on the offensive line over the past 5 years here. I would expect there's going to be more draft capital spent this year on it to some capacity, whether that's second round, they traded back and pick up more picks and pick an offensive lineman in the third round. Who knows? We'll see what happens there. How aggressive do you believe the Titans should be in spending money on the offensive line this offseason? And how do you view the Ronnie Stanley part of this, the Trey Smith part of this, and how you would best allocate that money if you're the Tennessee Titans.
Well, if you're giving me a choice between those two guys available as free agents, I'm going to go with Trey Smith. And I know some people will say "Gerd" to that, but Trey Smith is a young, healthy player. You know, J.C. Ingoldsby, I think, texted earlier about the blood clots. Obviously, that was a big part of his story at Tennessee. I mean, as far as I know, obviously, I guess if someone has something like that, you don't know what might happen in the future. But as far as I know, he's all clear and all good and all fine.
Yes.
So, I don't think that's a deterrent. And he's been a very good player for them, an incredible value where they drafted him. Well, the Titans should have drafted him before that. And I think that they, if they're going to spend, and look, I do think that they're going to have to. If they're going to fix this offensive line, they're going to have to spend some money in free agents. There's no doubt. I would opt for Trey Smith. As we talked about a little earlier, and you brought it up. I think you put it well. It's like Ronnie Stanley has had his ups and downs. He's a very good player. He was key for them this year. 31, injury history. Why are they okay with him going to market?
Right.
Sometimes, I guess, you know, I mean, sometimes it does work out for the team that a player goes to market, it isn't what they hoped, and then they end up coming back. And so that could happen. But I do think that's a bit of a red flag. And I just – also with him, I think you only really seriously entertain Stanley, not you, the other Ronnie, not Robbie. But you seriously only entertain that. I think if you are already resolved that you're moving Latham to the other side, maybe they are. I don't know. But I haven't been much indication of that. And I didn't think J.C. Latham's rookie year was one where you're like, oh, he's got to go back to the right side. I think he looked like a rookie at times, and he probably would have looked just as much like a rookie on the right side, right?
Yeah, I thought Latham had some moments at left tackle this year where you could see it, where it's like, yeah, like he's got a chance to be a really good player. I thought as the year went on, which is, I guess, something you got to get to the bottom of if you're Bill Callahan. I thought it got worse as the year went on. Like I thought toward the end of the year, it became more of a struggle for him. Now, how much of that was the quote unquote rookie wall that we hear about all the time? How much of that was just the situation of the team and everything kind of caving in around him when you're the worst team in the NFL? I don't know. Like I still have hope that J.C. Latham is going to be a good left tackle in the league. Now, you drafted him to be a foundational piece of your team. So I said it earlier in the offseason. One of the things that I'm going to be looking for this year, if he's playing left tackle, if we don't walk away at the end of next season saying to ourselves, yeah, J.C. Latham is going to be a great player here for a long time, to me, that's a tremendous disappointment. The rookie year is one thing. When you get through year two, you need to be able to say that guy is going to be a great player for you for a long time at that spot. And if you're not saying that at the end of next year, to me, that's a huge problem. Now, if you're Bill Callahan and you're Brian Callahan and you're looking at it right now, did you see anything throughout the course of the year where you're second-guessing him being a left tackle? I don't know the answer to that. You know, we've had people ask us that of could they move him back to right tackle. Like, to me, the way you do that, Joe, and you move him back to right tackle is if you find an option at left tackle that you can't pass up. Is Ronnie Stanley at 31 the option that you can't pass up at left tackle? I don't know that I would say that.
No. And the thing is, if that's the option you take, okay, so Latham moves to the right side, so in theory you've addressed that. But now you're looking, again, very high in the draft probably because that's really the only place you get long-term left tackles. To draft a left tackle in 2 years.
Yeah.
Is that what you want to do? Now, I had a little back and forth on the text line, and I forgot your name, I'm sorry, earlier in the show about, you know, the idea that, well, you can't do this because, you know, you're not going to be good. I would argue that you're trying to be good right now. So you sign good football players, you pay money, and you get what you pay for to a large extent, and your window, I mean, your playoff window should never be considered closed. Never in this league. It's built for the playoff windows to never be completely closed. So you try to get good. But, yeah, the idea that now this foundational piece, as you said, not that right tackle is like significantly less important than left tackle, but if you have a right-hand quarterback, it's a little more important to protect the blind side. Left tackle's cost more, go higher in the draft, et cetera, et cetera. So now you're going to be back in that position real soon.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's the flip side of this. Are you comfortable given the amount of money that we think it's going to take, which is probably somewhere in the $20 million range per year, are you comfortable giving that to Trey Smith at that position at guard?
I am.
I mean, he's 25. There's been good durability there. You know, we mentioned the blood clot issues. It doesn't feel like that's a thing anymore. We know he's a really good player. Are you comfortable addressing that position with that amount of money? Now, if you do that, Joe, let's say that's the big move they make on the offensive line. You've got a left tackle under a rookie contract, a left guard under a rookie contract, decent money that you're paying to a center who we'll see when he actually becomes available and able to play next year, and then a mystery at right tackle. Who knows, like, is it coming in the draft? Do you sign a couple like patchwork pieces of free agency at right tackle later in the offseason? But the bottom line is you're paying basically one big piece. Like, Cushenberry's making decent money, but one big piece on the offensive line at that point. I'm okay with that, even if it's not a left tackle or a right tackle. And then the hope is a couple years down the road, Latham and Skoronski, I guess, too, have played so well that you've got to think about, all right, well, we're getting ready to have to pay both of these guys. How much money are we comfortable allocating to the offensive line at that point?
You just really hope you have that problem, man. You need to get to the point where you got some guys like, oh, we need to give this guy a second deal. It's been slim pickings on that front for this franchise. Andrew says, I literally want to puke thinking about having to draft a lineman at this point. I get it. But, you know, there are five linemen on the field at a time, right? So, I mean, it's kind of a constant maintenance thing, even if you have a good line. Matt from Camden says, do you pay money for a guard and draft a right tackle in the second round, or do you spend money at right tackle and draft a guard in the fourth round? I feel like that's a big question. That's an interesting way to think about it. Because I do think that if you go the Trey Smith route and all of a sudden you feel like you got a real chance to be solid to better at four spots, then yeah, I think that second round pick could end up making sense there. Well, and I know some people then would want to puke, but it's, what do we just watch, guys? It's a line of scrimmage game.
Well, the bottom line is job one for Borgonzi and Brinker and this staff right now is finding the quarterback, right? Like, you've got to get the quarterback position figured out. To me, not too far behind that is it's been three consecutive years of abysmal offensive line play. Now, I realize that this staff has only been there for one of those years, but it's been three consecutive years where we've looked around and said, good Lord, can anybody block on this team? You have to fix that. And I understand there's a long list of other things they've got to fix. They do have to find a young receiver. They do need to find another edge rusher. They got a lot of work to do. But I am so tired of getting through a football season and on a Monday after a Titans game, us getting in here and saying, hey, did you see the quarterback running for his life yesterday? It would be great to fix that at some point. It's been 3 years of that nonsense.
You should not have a weekly debate of, were all those sacks more on the lineman or the quarterback? That's right. Like one of the biggest debates of the fall. Whose fault was it really for all these sacks? How about just not have all these sacks?
Yeah. Well, and again, like, this is part of why you brought in Bill Callahan, right? Like, I realize he is the coach's father, so there's that. But he's also a Hall of Fame level offensive line coach, one of the greatest offensive line coaches in the history of the game. And, you know, fairly or unfairly, the payoff for that did not really come in year one. It needs to come in year two. Like, there needs to be a noticeable, tangible uptick in performance from that group under his leadership.
Right. Latham, Skoronski, you hope they're key pieces. And Bill Callahan has got to be the guy who makes them key pieces.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More your thoughts on Titans free agency. Plus, do we have an apology coming up from Joe Rexroad next?
I guess.
Oh, boy. I'm looking forward to that. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Got some tickets to give away, a 4-pack of tickets to the Nashville Celebrity Comic Con at the Nashville Fairgrounds coming up on March the 1st and March the 2nd. Be calling number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a 4-pack of tickets to the Nashville Celebrity Comic Con at the Nashville Fairgrounds coming up March 1st and March 2nd. No word yet on if Joe Rexroad will be participating in the Celebrity Comic Con.
I'd always wanted to do a Comic Con. I think that'd be cool. Maybe so. Hey, Indy Ben has weighed in.
Okay.
He said Titans should just tank Will Campbell at number one overall. It's the most Titans thing to do. Crying face emoji.
Oh,
Indy Ben. You
Indy Ben must not
you
have liked
so
our Colts
badly
yesterday.
Need the Titans' misery, don't you, Indy Ben? You've got a little bit of your own, buddy.
There's a lot to go around in this division.
There is a lot to go around. Comparing, I'm going to go to whatever Stilley said yesterday. I'm not going to go there. Speaking of Stilley.
Joe, do you have an apology you'd like to issue?
Yeah, no, I do. It's amazing, actually. Actually, that I just went through the comments on our cap casualty thing at The Athletic. Everybody picked a player from each team that could be a cap casualty. That's the salary cap, which exists, by the way. So yesterday, driving home, I get a little text from Stilley. This is in our little thread with me, you, Stilley, and Caroline Fenton.
Only two people ever talk in that thread are you and Stilley.
Yeah, yes. You guys just sit there, and it's like you're watching can't turn away from the car accident. But Stilley takes me to task for my choice for the Titans for cap casualty was Treylon Burks. And so just full disclosure here, let me raise my hand. And it's amazing because I just went through the comments of the story and no one has called me out on the story. I misread it. And, like, in my mind, they were saving 4.6 mil by cutting him. But as Stilley astutely and accurately points out, that's this. And I even wrote it out and still, like, just completely. I mean, I do this every year.
Yeah.
And I promise you my other cap casualties have made sense and would actually be cap savings. So, like, I understand how to read overthecap.com, okay? But I just rushed and basically, instead of a $4.6 million savings, it's a $0 savings. Now, I will say, so I apologize to readers.
Yeah, the Titans should really cut Treylon Burks to save him a lot of money.
So, still, it's a fair call. Now, of course, he's trying to take it to the cap guy. You're saying the salary cap is real. Like, no, just this is not. No, there's no argument about the salary cap being real or not. You have a fantasy world that we're not going to all live in with you.
By the way, that's the most popular topic of conversation on this group thread with me, Stilley, and Caroline Fenton.
It's always the cap's real, and yet Patrick Mahomes is still on the Chiefs. Explain that, Joe! It's like, okay, man, we're not going to live in your fantasy world. But this was a dumb mistake by me. And, yes, I will argue, though, the $0 savings is still worth cutting.
I would agree.
But I think that we should do this exercise for real, which is who is the most likely Titans cap casualty to save them money on the salary cap, which does exist, is real, and influences every single roster in this league every year, and it is seen at the mid-level player level. Obviously, teams keep their stars. So I'm going to come with actually Karski mentioned last week. I mean, I think Harold Landry, in all seriousness, is it's a really interesting offseason in that regard.
Yep.
Now, they have nobody on the edge. So it's hard for me to imagine. And he's been such a pro. He's still a very good player. I don't think they're going to do this. But he's got a cap hit of 24 mil. He's got dead money of 13, by my math, which I did poorly with Treylon Burks. It's really amazing how I did that. That's about $11 million in save. It's a big dead number, but it's you're saving $11 million by cutting him. Other possibilities to throw out there at you. I mean, Nicholas Petit-Frere, I mean, maybe this is like too much of a no-brainer, but he's 3.6 on the cap hit. He's 240K on the dead money. I mean, I think that's probably a no-brainer. Maybe that's maybe that's too obvious. You know, not as there was another one.
Let me throw one at you.
Okay.
I realize fully that they got a lot of work to do with this position. What about Imani Hooker?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it's
– he's got $11.3 million cap hit.
Yep.
If you cut him, you're saving $8.8 against the cap.
Yep.
Now, you've got to totally revamp your safety position at that point. And, look, Hooker, I think, is a – he's a good player. I would not say he's a great player. I think he's a good player. Would that be on your your radar for the Titans?
Yeah, it's the thing. Like with Hooker and Landry, you're talking about obviously guys who were part of the past era, who were really good players in that past era, who are still good players. and at positions where you have nothing. So my inclination would be, you know, you keep paying them. You pay Hooker his 11.3 cap hit this year and Landry 24, and you try to build around them because you already are so strapped for talent. But if it's in tandem with – see, the thing is, if you're doing something like this, then you have to have corresponding moves of paying other players. You have to. So then the question becomes, okay, so then what's your plan if you're going to come? But, you know, I think that's a fair one to bring up. Another one, I wouldn't do it because it's not like it's a big number. I mean, Chig only is getting 3.5, but you basically would save all that money. It's just, again, he has, you know, he's a guy who you'd like to see bump down the depth chart there, but you just don't have much of a depth chart there.
Yep.
And that's the problem with this roster is, you know, you can look at all these places and it's like, okay, then who's playing at that spot if you do that move?
Well, even a guy like Kenneth Murray, right, who's got a $10.1 million cap hit.
That's a good one to bring up.
You'd save 7.6 if you moved on. I thought Kenneth Murray had moments where he's pretty good for the Titans this past year. And, again, like, you got money to spend already. Like, who's playing some of these positions if you move on? The Landry part of it is really interesting to me because – you know, we know that Harold Landry has been a good player around here for a long time. I think even though you look at the sack number itself, and it ended up being a decent year for Harold Landry from that standpoint last year, when you're just going purely off sack numbers, it's 9 sacks. Like, that's nothing to sneeze at. But I think you would agree, and I think if you're a Titans fan that watched intently the games this year, you would agree, his impact on the game seemed like it diminished this year pretty significantly.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. No, it's going the wrong way, you know. But, and that you're removed enough from the knee, it's like, yeah, it's just another case of an aging player, and that's what happens in this league. Also, though, I do think his track record of durability and of just being a solid player, you're overpaying probably for what you're getting from him. But again, like, how do you field a competitive team if you don't have some of that? Everybody overpays some people. Trevor says, yeah, they come away with Abdul Carter than Harold Landry, yeah, higher percentage. Yeah, but I wouldn't mind Abdul Carter learning how to be a pro from Harold Landry and them being on opposite sides of each other and seeing if you can manufacture some pass rush. How much does that help Harold Landry if Abdul Carter is what some people think he is?
Well, I think one thing –
he'd love to play a year like that.
You know, Harold Landry, first off, would say, you know, 9 sacks is still 9 sacks. I got it this year in my supposed down year. And I think the other thing that he would probably say would be, okay, well, how much help am I getting rushing the passer right now? Like, Jeffrey Simmons is a really good player that occupies attention, but Jeffrey Simmons is not going to end up, you know, with 12 sacks or anything like that on a yearly basis. Devondre Sweat, as much as you like a lot of what he brought to the table in his rookie year, he did not impact the quarterback. Arden Key is not an upper echelon pass rusher. So if I'm Harold Landry, I'm saying, yeah, go get me another pass rusher on the other side and see what that does for me to open some things up.
Yeah, no question. Someone asked about a woozy cap number 14.2, dead money 12.5. It's not much. I mean, you need him and you need L'Jarius Sneed to be – players who actually play football for you next season.
Yep.
That would be nice and interesting to see what it would look like, because if they can actually play, I think they might still be able to play well.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Your thoughts on some potential cap casualties for the Titans, your thoughts on NFL free agency. More of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Make sure you tune in for Smashville Live. It's been moved from tomorrow due to the inclement weather, so they'll be back at it when the Predators are back at home. That date will be rescheduled. So if you're planning on going to Smashville Live tomorrow, it has been canceled. The snow is coming in. Rex Road's going to take up all the bread and milk after the program ends.
Right to the store after this. Right to the store. You guys better hurry.
Trevor on the text line saying, does the new front office approach Landry about a possible pay cut since he's declining? I know Landry probably would not be interested in taking less pay. What do you think of that?
Wouldn't be shocked. That's the other part of this. There's always the in-between of, you know, the cut or just status quo and going to someone and talking about a pay cut. So, yeah, I think that's definitely possible.
I'm interested to see how they view that position in general. Like, it's one thing if you're taking Abdul Carter with your first pick, whether that's at number one overall or if you trade back down to three or four and he's there and you take him. Like, it's one thing to bring him in. If you don't get Abdul Carter – and let's say they draft Cam Ward. They draft Cam Ward. They've got the quarterback. We've talked about their need on the offensive line and a wide receiver. What do you do? Like, how does that impact your decision with Landry? Like, if you get through the draft and you're not really able to find that edge rusher to go help him. Like, to me, that would almost force you to keep him, right? Because he's really the only thing you got. Like, no disrespect to Arden Key, but he's really like the one guy you've got at edge rusher right now. Like, I think you've got to – before you make a decision on Landry, to me, like, you've got to see how the draft kind of plays out here for you, I think.
Yeah, and obviously you go through everything. You still should have a plan in mind. I would want Landry on my football team because he really is – like, he's been a quiet guy, but he is as much a probably like a lead-by-example guy as you can have out there, right? For what he's done in his career. So I think, you know, if you're going to talk about culture, you know, if you care about culture, then Landry to me is definitely a culture player. So there is value in that beyond his production. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, depending how things work out, you could think differently about him. I just feel like, first of all, I'd like to see what he can do with actual help and what it would mean.
Yeah.
What if he has actual help, and what if, you know, Tavondre Sweat does become more of a force this year. All of a sudden, you have like a young edge rusher, and you got more push inside. Let's say Jeffrey Simmons takes another step and doesn't keep declining. You know, then all of a sudden, you feel better. You can do your job a lot better if you're Harold Landry. And again, like you said, you know, otherwise, like how do you even have enough there? Even if you do, like, how much can you do to have enough if you don't have Landry?
The thing is, everybody's going to focus in on Abdul Carter, and I get it. Like, he's, I think, certainly the best prospect in terms of edge rusher in this draft. I do think – we talked about this early in the offseason. I think you can find some pretty good edge rushers in this draft.
Yep.
And, you know, James Pierce isn't the only one, but, you know, Kennard out of South Carolina, the two Ohio State guys that are coming out. Like, I think you've got a chance if you could pick up a third-round pick or if you could pick up another second-round pick by moving back. You could find some edge rushers that aren't just Abdul Carter or James Pierce in the first round.
Yeah, and that's, you know, what you hope too is, like, do some, you know, Jackson Dart and Tyler Shug and whoever, do some of these quarterbacks start to creep into the low end of the first round, which we see sometimes, and then you push some of those guys down a little bit, and all of a sudden at your second round pick, you get someone who maybe it was projected late first, because it's deeper at edge definitely than a lot of positions.
Well, and one place that it doesn't seem to be very deep at all is offensive line. Like, they've talked about, this is not a great offensive line draft. So then it gets into the old discussion that it seems like we have every year on the program about, like, how much does need influence your pick? Like, I think you operate with your big board and you do that to the point where you're not reaching. But there is a point where I think need comes in. Like, if it's relatively close, are the Titans more inclined with their second-round pick to go offensive line just because they think that you got a better chance at finding an edge rusher a little bit later in the draft than you do an offensive lineman? Like, how does that factor in to what they do come draft time?
Yeah, and then – obviously, it'll be easier. The need will be more defined based on a free agency.
Yeah.
So, but the really important thing is that next week people start jogging around in Indianapolis, well, and, you know,
I can't wait to hear the reports about it.
I know. I could tell when we had Gentry on earlier, like, his excitement was palpable.
He was. By the way, Kuharski's weighed in on our personal text line. He says, "Does help give Landry burst?" talking about the Landry part of this. Like, if he gets help, is that all of a sudden going to make him a faster player, more explosive? And also says that you're naive and the stores have been empty for 2 days with the snow coming in.
Oh, crap. That's not good. I should have figured. Well, my plan for 9 loaves of bread today and 4 gallons of milk is probably out the door. Well, no, it doesn't.
Did you see how many eggs Rex Rhodes walking out with in the store? Crazy.
I mean, we are just going to have a French toast festival over at my house. Does help give Landry burst? No. But, again, then who? So let me ask him a question. So then who's playing edge if he's not here? Like, I understand that, you know, last week he's like, yeah, like 7 of his sacks were fake anyway. They don't really count. Like, well, you know, he got 9 sacks. I agree with you, both of you, that he did not impact the game like he has previously. But it is a little bit of, okay, then how bad do you want to be there? I think he can be solid for you. And I do think that if you got someone who starts occupying multiple blockers consistently, I bet you that gets a play or two made by him that wouldn't have been previously.
Well, I think the big thing is, if you're going to cut him, where else are you using the money? That's what it comes down to. Like, where if you're wanting to save the almost $11 million with the cap hit this year, well, then where are you allocating that money? Because, like, if you're doing it just to do it, like, I'm not for that based on where they're at with their roster right now. Like, it would be one thing if you're looking at your window and you're saying, you know what, we're a championship contender, we just feel like we can replace Harold Landry, we can save money, go out, spend it, and we're one guy away there. That's one thing. Like, but where are you spending your money if you're saving this? Would be where Borgonzi and Brinker would have to get their heads together and figure that out. Like, I don't think you should cut Landry just for the sake of cutting him right now.
No, yeah. So I guess we come around on, he was the first one mentioned during this thing, and now I'm totally against it. So I apologize again. Who is our cap cut then?
Treylon Burks, who saves you
hey,
$0.
You don't lose money. That's kind of a savings, right?
Check it out at theathletic.com. Treylon Burks, the cap casualty for the Tennessee Titans.
It actually says on the side, it says $0 on that thing. It says savings $0.
Nice Rocks job. Road.
Nice job by me.
That does it for us today. Kuharski will be with us on the program tomorrow. Keep your heads about you today with the weather coming in. We'll see what that looks like. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.